Ever dream of a three-row SUV where everything for every passenger feels just right? Introducing the all-new Infiniti QX80. With available features like biometric cooling, electronic air suspension, and segment-first individual audio that isolates sound. Right to the driver's seat. Discover every just-right feature in the all-new QX80 at InfinitiUSA.com. 2025 QX80 is not yet available for purchase. Expected availability summer 2024. Individual audio cannot buffer all interior sounds. See owner's manual for details.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Hey guys, before we start the show, I want to tell you about Dodge. See your authorized Dodge dealer and experience a world of performance, design, and fuel efficiency. Schedule a test drive. Go to Dodge.com and check out our powerful lineup. Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea. We've got Bill Goldberg on the phone again. How are you, Bill?
You know, I'm here in spirit, but physically, I'm at home.
I know it's been a crazy week or week and a half or so, going back and forth to LA and filming up here. I guess you've been filming up doing NCIS Los Angeles.
Yeah, man, you know, in a perfect world, it would have been a wonderful situation, you know, going up there for eight, nine days doing some filming up in L.A. But, you know, I don't like to live the perfect world. I like to make things as difficult as humanly possible. Therefore, I commuted every day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a wonderful experience taking out the 8 hours of car travel daily, but you know, you live and learn, and it was great, man. I'm looking forward to the episode coming out, and you know, it gave me an opportunity to see some cool cars being trailered in LA traffic for a long period.
Yeah, well, hopefully you get a little time off in between. We can have you come back up into the studio. We'd love to see you again. And
I will definitely be there soon. You know, another thing I want to touch on real quick is I got to drive a nice Dodge Ram in NCIS, and I heard that they have two wide-body Hellcats on the way. So it made me like that show even more.
Oh, well, that's good. LL Cool J drives a Challenger in that show all the time, where he has for seasons now, right? So maybe they're going to upgrade his ride.
Well, they're definitely upgrading his wide to a wide-body Hellcat. I don't know if it will be the Red Eye. I don't think so, but I was told yesterday they got two wide bodies headed their way.
And how long do you think it's going to be when your episode airs?
You know, man, I don't know how NCIS is. I know that, for instance, Knife or Death, which is coming out October 3rd. I mean, we finished filming that at the end of August, and August, September, October. So, I mean, that's a one and a half month turnaround to put a program out on national television. So I don't know how NCIS does it, but I do know that it's possible to turn around very quickly, but I also know it's possible for it to be banked and,
yeah,
you know, so probably aired in 6-8 months.
For Knife or Death, you filmed the entire season, and they're going to start airing that, you know, right away. I'm pretty sure for a lot of the big network shows, you know, like the main, you know, whatever, three or four network shows, like the CBSs and NBCs of the world, I think they start filming, then they start airing, and they continue filming while the season is happening. So they're probably a few episodes in, and then I think they still film a little bit this year as new shows roll out in like September or October or November. But we had some friends work on a couple of shows from back in the day that were telling me about it, and I went out there and visited them on some of the episodes that they were filming in the middle of the season. It was weird. It was like kind of a long,
yeah,
depending on the show, you know, it kind of depends on the show. Well, that'll be good.
Yeah,
it'll be exciting
also,
to do.
Also taking it for best.
I'm sorry, you broke up there. Did we lose you?
Episode.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, it literally took one day to film an episode at Knife or Death.
Yeah.
You know, CSI, I was on for 8 days. And, I mean, that's one episode. So it's amazing how quick the turnaround can be. And it's also amazing how long and arduous the process can be in the middle of it.
Yeah. Except you're on NCIS, not CSI. Just a little.
Oh, did I say CSI?
You said
CSI.
Yeah.
Well, I was on CSI a while ago, so, you know, I've been hitting the head a lot, and there we go.
Yeah, there's crime and stuff involved. No, I get it. So I want to get into some of this news that we've been hearing about. There's some interesting stuff going on. Obviously, some big news from Ferrari that just happened. We'll get into that. But before we started that, I'm going to tell you guys about Wrangler. Everybody's got a favorite pair of jeans that fit perfect and always look great, and no one knows this better than Wrangler. Wrangler jeans, they're made for the modern-day adventurers. Whether you ride a bike, a bronc, or a skateboard, these jeans are for you. Classic and modern styles, a range of fits, and a price that works for you. Plus, there's vintage re-releases. If you visit Wrangler.com and check out their great selection of jeans, shirts, pants, and outerwear for both men and women, there's new styles, great fits, Wrangler, real comfortable jeans. So check out Wrangler.com.
$50 if you post a picture of you in a pair of Wranglers.
I'll probably just do that then. count me in. So some interesting news. We've been waiting a while for this BMW Z4, or some people have, you know, if you're into the BMW Z4. And all the images are starting to come out now. And, you know, we've seen... We've kind of got an idea of what the exterior styling is going to be, and now that it's fully uncovered, we saw it up at Pebble Beach. It's interesting. The Z4 has gone from a hard top back to a soft top. It's a little more aggressive in the styling. I think it's kind of cool. I don't know if you've seen it yet, Bill. But
yeah, I checked it out.
But there's just something about the profile of it and the rear taillights that seem an awful lot like the Mercedes, like the SLK. It's really starting to look a little SLK-ish, but with the BMW front kidneys in the front. But
I'm sure that's pissing off a bunch of purists.
Yeah, it kind of is. I'm curious to see how this plays out. I guess the Z4 does well enough for them that they made this big investment and brought this car back. This is what we do know. The base engine will be a 2-liter four-cylinder twin turbo with 255 horsepower and 295 pound-feet of torque. It'll be through an 8-speed automatic transmission. I don't know that there's any manual transmission available. And this should be a little bit of bump in power over the previous generation 2-liter. I think it's something like 15 horsepower and 35 pound-feet of torque. The 0 to 60 is supposed to be about 5.2 seconds. Should be pretty interesting. That's what's going to come out, I believe, in 2019. And then soon after that, we will have the 3-liter version, which is the turbocharged 6-cylinder, of course, the inline 6 that BMW does so well. 382 horsepower, 369 pound-feet of torque, and the 0-60 will be 4.4 seconds. I'm curious if they will do an M version. I'm sure there'll be an M Sport version, which will have the trim package and things like that for the M Sport. But I don't know if they're going to do an M version. I'd like to see an M version of it. It could be kind of cool. I'm not sure how this falls in with are they going to do a Z5? I wasn't sure if they're still doing that. Or is that the one that's the Toyota Subaru? The Toyota Subaru platform that I think that's the one that's being shared, you know. I'm not sure, but we know that the new Subaru is coming out, and it's a shared platform with the BMW. So I'd like to get some more information about that. I think that starts coming out soon. I think more on the Subaru side. It's going to be tough to sort of trump the 2JZ motor and the Subaru Turbo that we all love, and every Fast and Furious fan that fell in love with the Subaru. From the Supra Turbo.
It's ironic that you're talking about the relationship between those two, because yesterday, as I drove home on the 73 for my last day of set on NCIS, not
right,
exactly. I saw a nice BMW badged, you know, with the trunk emblem with a WRX badging right next to it.
Oh, well, that's weird. It's got to be some kind of somebody making a play on the whole cross platform
thing. Well,
yeah,
it's kind of similar to a few of the photos you've posted with that Lexus and pretty goofy. It's pretty funny what people do with their vehicles out there.
And it's weird that we're starting to get these shared platforms now. I mentioned Subaru, but it was like Subaru and Scion, right? The FRS was built with the Subaru BRZ, and now we've got Toyota. We've got the Supra being built on the platform that's being shared with BMW. So I guess it's a way for them to bring out these sports cars that are kind of fun, but share some of the development costs by kind of doing this crossover of brands, if you will. So it should be kind of interesting to see how that all plays out. If Supra fans get behind this or not, we'll find out. So there's been some press events and some releases that came out soon, and big news from Ferrari and big news from Audi. Audi released what's called an e-tron, and it's basically a small SUV. It's a crossover. It's all electric. It's going to be up there. Like we know we've had the model, the Tesla Model X for some time, and Jaguar's been really talking a lot about their I-Pace. They're even doing a spec racing division. I think Bobby Rahal is one of the teams. He's fielding one of the teams out there in this all electric I-Pace spec racing class. So we're pretty familiar with the I-Pace of what we've seen so far. We're actually on schedule to drive one of those. I think in October we're going to get an I-Pace. I got to check the dates on it, but I don't remember if it's before or after SEMA. I think it's before SEMA. We're going to drive the I-Pace and really get kind of an idea. And the I-Pace is something like, you know, it's you know, it starts at like $70,000. It's got a 240-mile range. It's going to be pretty zippy. You know, 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds, but it's going to look like a Jag, and it's going to handle like a Jag. And I don't know how much of you've seen it yet, Bill. But
all I can tell you is what I'm looking at don't look like no Jag. It looks like a run of the mill electric car. Now, if you want to talk about styling, hands down, this Audi's got them both beat.
Yeah,
if you ask me.
So this thing's kind of cool, and they're starting to talk about, like, they're kind of loose on some of the details. We know that there's dual motors and all-wheel drive. That's going to be pretty much on par with the Audi, the Jag, and the Tesla. Let's say the Tesla Model X 75 or 75D, I guess is what it would be. They sort of compare, right? They're all 240-ish mile ranges. They're all sub 5 second 0 to 60 times, except for the Audi. It's 5.5, but it does look cool. They're all about, well, the Audi and the Tesla are about $80,000. The Jag starts at about $70,000. So I guess we'll see how these things play out with options and things like that. But the Audi looks pretty good. And this is kind of where we're going, right? Like these car companies have to do this. I'm not sure why SUV is the way to go. I'm guessing it's because you know, with our cars, we pay attention more to things like weight and handling performance. With the SUVs, it seems like a little extra ground clearance, some utility to move stuff around, and a big floor to add all those batteries and stuff to. I guess it seems a little bit more acceptable, or maybe just makes a little bit more sense. Yeah, maybe it just makes sense from a packaging standpoint. You can add quite a bit of a weight and stuff with batteries. But, you know, these electric motors are impressive. I mean, we talked about before, they're adding them into supercars and stuff to add to the performance. And now we're getting these all-electric versions of cars. It'll be interesting to see how this Audi comes out. I don't know much about if this is a straight-up platform or is it built on something like an Audi Q5. That much I don't know. I think they were kind of quiet on some of those details, but that's going to be the new playing field. The new playing field is going to be this Audi versus Tesla versus Jaguar. And Adam Carolla's wife has the Tesla, so we've definitely got that as a benchmark. We're going to have the I-Pace Jaguar pretty soon, and then I think this Audi's probably a year or so away. What do you think, Bill? Would you get an electric SUV?
You know, I'm gonna fight it until I can't fight it anymore. But there's no question this is where the automotive world is going. I can't deny that. And yes, I would purchase one at some point. But no, I am not at that point yet, by any means. It's a very responsible way of looking towards the future, and I get it. As you drive in LA traffic, which you and I both do daily.
Yeah.
As of late, I mean, you're seeing a lot more of these crossovers, and it is definitely, whether it's the way we're going or whether it's the way we're being pointed towards going, it's a fact. And, you know, these are three very good models out there to have choices. I mean, a couple years ago or a year ago, we only had one choice. And I'm curious to see what these other manufacturers, the dent that they're making in Tesla's business with the new crossovers coming out right now. I mean, is Tesla, obviously they cornered the market there for a little while. But I think design-wise, everyone is going to supersede what Tesla puts out there. But like I said, it's a logical progression. It's just not one that I'm willing to make right now. I like starting up the demons and working with those things
Yeah. Okay. I hear you on that. I mean, certainly in the electrification world of cars, we've had, which are essentially the entry level ones, the Chevy Volt, the Leaf, and things like that, and then our high end ones like the Teslas and whatnot. And now we're starting to fill in that middle ground with things that are, maybe a little more practical, maybe a little more for the masses, I guess. I mean, if you can call a $70,000 car for the masses, but who knows? Maybe they're pushing like good lease rates and things like that.
I'm just ecstatic that visually people are coming out with a palatable option. This Audi is a beautiful looking crossover, if you ask me. I don't care if you're comparing it against electric cars or combustible engines. It doesn't matter. As it stands, this is a very good looking SUV.
It is.
And therefore, the main issue I have with electric vehicles is design.
Okay? I agree with that. It's funny. I had a conversation with some Nissan guys back in the day about the Nissan Leaf, and I was like, what's going on with the design and stuff? And they said that the design was largely a function of course, aerodynamics, but sound. It had a lot to do with sound, because they said once you remove the combustion engine and you have basically silent electric motors, you hear all this wind noise. And they said just changing the shape of the lights or a side mirror would make all the difference in the world, because at certain speeds, maybe 60 miles an hour, you could start hearing like a whistling and all kinds of noise coming from different parts of the bodywork. So that's where the wind tunnel started to change the shape of these cars to make them look the way they do. So I'm not sure what's happening with cars like the I-Pace and the Audi that you're talking about, the e-tron. But the I-Pace specifically has a lot of aero built into it. It has sort of this front, it has a grill in the front, and then the air goes through it and then kind of over the hood, like you'd see on a race car going through the radiator and downforce on the hood. That air actually flows over the top of the SUV, and then the rear glass, where there normally would be a rear windshield wiper, rear glass wiper, you don't need it on the I-Pace because the way the wind flows over that car, it blows air down the glass and basically keeps it clear, keeps the fog off, keeps it clear. So just the use of aerodynamics.
Go out and buy the I-Pace because you're saving money on a windshield wiper.
Right? At least the motor. You can put that weight into those batteries and stuff. I want to talk about Ferrari because they've got some good news, some interesting news, a lot of news that's going up with them. But I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about Continental, of course. If you think of all the weird things that you find in cars, I'm not talking about French fries and melted crayons. I'm talking about things like live snakes, bizarre trinkets, the kind of stuff that makes you just wonder about, folks. And another thing that'll make you wonder, but in a good way, are Continental belts. I bet you didn't know that they're OE in tens of millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, and GM vehicles that roll off the assembly line. Actually, you probably did know that because we've been reading this ad for a while. They're also OE in a majority of BMWs and VWs. And now, Continental is launching the aftermarket multi-V belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series. These belts are fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function. And Continental has an OE technology series multi-V belt for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. So listen, you get enough surprises working on your cars and trucks already. A belt shouldn't be one of them. Go with the Continental OE Technology Series Multi-V Belt, the belt with the OE pedigree. To get the full story, visit oetechnologyseries.com. All right, so Ferrari had like a big, I don't know, like shareholders meeting. They were talking about some new cars. They were talking about the direction of the company. New management when the current head of FCA kind of passed away. Unfortunately, he was a very well-liked guy, Sergio Marchione. I forgot. I don't know how to say his last name. I don't have it in front of me. But young man died. I think it was of cancer. I don't have all the details on that in front of me, but very sad there. But what is Ferrari going to do? What's the future of Ferrari? And now it's different. They can't really just kind of do what they want, which they've been able to do for so long, because now they've spun off as their own public company. They have a fiduciary duty. They have a stock price. They have shareholders. And as an independent company, they have EPA laws they need to match. Where, you know, in the world of Fords and Chevys, you can make a Ford Focus and you can make a Chevy Spark for every couple of F-150s. And overall, as a company, you can meet those CAFE standards, you know, and you can release some hybrid cars and some electric cars and meet the overall company CAFE standard, these emissions and fuel economy standards. But Ferrari has a little bit more difficulty doing that. So where do they go from here? What they tell us is Ferrari plans on launching up to 15 new models, including hybrids and a utility vehicle, right? I don't know if they're saying specifically a truck, a sport utility vehicle. This has been like a long debate for the Ferrari brand for a long time, would just be like, do they do an SUV? And it's always been like, no, we're not going to do it. It's going to hurt the brand. My question is, will it really hurt the brand? Like, Ferrari has done it. Bentley's done it. Rolls-Royce has theirs coming out, or it basically is out. I understand that Aston Martin's probably going to be doing it. Maserati has certainly done it. And as far as sports car brand loyalty, we know Porsche has several SUVs, the Cayenne, the Macan. Has that hurt the brand? I don't know that that's really hurt the brand. I think their SUVs are great, but I think the diehards that love the 911 still just treat the 911 like a 911, almost like another company, right? Like you go to a Rennsport racing event and stuff like that. I'm sure everybody's rolling up in a Cayenne and racing all the 911s. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think Ferrari should step into this realm, this SUV realm?
I think if it's a publicly traded company now, they have to jump into the foray. I don't think it's going to hurt their brand. You know, my brother being a Ferrari guy and having four or five of their top cars, I don't think it's going to turn him away whatsoever. I think it's going to make him want to go out and buy a Ferrari SUV.
Yeah, so
now
that's
that they're offered, you know.
That's a good question. Is so your brother is a Ferrari collector. Do you think a Ferrari SUV would attract new people to the brand, or do you think
it sells to existing customers? Price point.
Yeah.
It's the price point. I think that's going to determine everything. There's no question about it. I mean, with them producing 22 more vehicles, you know, everybody in the world who's always had their eyes set on owning a Ferrari, maybe there's a reasonable version that they're going to build that's more palatable to the normal person. Although that, again, would probably devalue the brand. I'm not real sure. But, you know, in this day and age, I don't think the brand will take a hit.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think it would be fine. Porsche pulled it off, and I think that brought a lot of new customers to the Porsche brand, for sure. Now, Rolls-Royce's strategy with their SUV is not really new customers to the brand. They're saying that people that own the cars have been asking for an SUV, and they're just going to have one of each. They think those customers want an SUV, and they're just going to have the car parked in their garage next to the SUV.
I think both are great options. I mean, both are great reasoning. You know, whether it's the new car market or the people who already own that vehicle, you know, wanting to purchase another one because it's in a different space. I think the brands are going to benefit from both.
Yeah. Well, as part of that, part of this strategy is more specialty vehicles, more limited edition vehicles. And they took the cover off of two vehicles that they debuted, the Monza SP1 and the SP2. These are open roof sports cars. The Monza SP1 is a single seater, which is interesting. And then the SP2 is two seats, but they pumped up the engine. In the Ferrari Superfast, the 812 Superfast, which I'm pretty sure our buddy Ken Lingenfelter just bought, or he was on the list for one, and he's been excited about it. So I don't know if he has it yet. Maybe we'll talk to him at SEMA, because I want to hear about that car, and because I think it's gorgeous. I love that long nose front engine GT style of supercar. But the engine is a 6.5 liter V12. That's in the Superfast, and in the new Monza, these cars here, it's that engine. So it's front engine. These cars, by the way, are front engine, or front mid, if you will. 809 horsepower, 530 pound feet of torque, and Ferrari says it'll go 0 to 62 miles an hour in 2.9 seconds. And I guess if you just go fast enough, you don't need a windshield. Because
that's a whole nother conversation. I think to touch on it, I think Ferrari needs to continue to do what they're doing and satiate the true Ferrari collector in these limited edition vehicles. But you know, you roll this thing and you're dead. There's no question about that. I mean, there's no roll bar. It's more dangerous than my Cobra.
Yeah, probably.
Although people, I don't think, are going to take the car out and drive it to its limit, unless they're 4.5 feet tall and their head, it's not going to be compromised. But that's a death trap right there, you know, for 1.25. But the Ferrari collector, you know, was probably going to go out and get that car to say that they have it, you know.
It's going to be interesting. And I imagine that all of the roll protection comes in the way of electronics. I think the car probably has to sense every movement and tries to prevent you from doing something. I mean, granted, you get T-boned by a semi-truck, you're having a bad day no matter what. But
I don't care what you're in.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter what you're in, although I prefer not to be in a smart car. Anyway, it's an interesting strategy. So Ferrari has always sort of capped their cars at about 7,000. I think they're moving up to like 9,000. And I think they're setting a goal of about 15,000 cars a year. So I guess we'll see where it goes. I mean, from an innovation standpoint, I think Ferrari has always produced some pretty amazing cars, certainly some beautiful cars. And it's important for their brand more than anybody out there. It's important for their brand to maintain the valuability, the value of these cars, the long-term value of these cars, so they can continue to be collector's items. Anything Ferrari at auction these days basically goes up, you know, and even the worst of the worst, they still go up in value eventually. So anyway, so it'll be interesting to see where it goes. All right. So I know we got kind of a short show today. I apologize for that, but we're running out of studio time here. We got another crew coming in, and they've got guests and stuff that they've got to do. So we're going to start.
Let me get something out there real quick, please.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
A lot of guys have been asking about, you know, updates on the Demon. Well, I have a little bit of a dilemma. I received the Demon bar and the backseat delete yesterday. I also received the shock tower brace for the trunk. There is a lot of stuff for me to take off on this car to install those two items. I want to hear from some Demon owners whether they've done it themselves or whether they've taken it to the dealership, because I want to do it myself, but I also want to put the puzzle back properly.
Yeah.
So it's a daunting task, and I haven't seen many people do it themselves or at least post it. So give me your feedback, everybody.
Yeah, if you guys have done it, I tell you what, shoot us an email at carcastshow@gmail.com. And, of course, you can hit us up on all of our social media. And speaking of Dodge, your authorized Dodge dealer invites you to experience a world of performance, design, and fuel efficiency. Schedule a test drive today. Go to Dodge.com or visit your Dodge dealer to learn more about the exciting offers on our powerful lineup. All right. So, Bill, thanks again for calling in. We're going to put a plan together to get together here back in the studio. It'll be good to catch up with you in person. And I apologize for the short show, guys, but we're running out of studio time. So until next time, for Matt and Bill and Chris, who's not talking because he's sick, is keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
See ya!
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Carcast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on carcastshow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. Carcast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
Ever dream of a three-row SUV where everything for every passenger feels just right? Introducing the all-new Infiniti QX80. With available features like biometric cooling, electronic air suspension, and segment-first individual audio that isolates sound. Right to the driver's seat. Discover every just-right feature in the all-new QX80 at InfinityUSA.com. 2025 QX80 is not yet available for purchase. Expected availability summer 2024. Individual audio cannot buffer all interior sounds. See owner's manual for details.